Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It is episode 138 of the Say Hey Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I am Doug Hayes. It is October 1st, 2024. Say Hey Rob and I are joined by good friend, Brooks Knutson. Welcome back, man. How's it going?
We are 138. This is the episode I want to be on with you guys. just what a weird time, right? Giants missed out on, you know, what a lot of people were hoping for was going to be a trip back to postseason baseball. Didn't happen, and they made some stuff happen real fast. We'll get into it, but great to be on with you two buddies.
Yeah, you know, thinking back to the beginning of the season, if you and Doug would have told me, like, oh yeah, back-to-back Say Pod episodes the 2 days after the season ended, like, oh shit, the Giants are in the playoffs. Hell,
we're doing
yeah,
a preview, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a series preview, then we're getting ready for, you know, the Brewers or, you know, the Nationals or the Marlins, but yeah, like it's funny how fast things have kind of picked up the last couple of days, and the Giants aren't even playing ball.
Yeah, it's been a few episodes, Brooks, since we've had you on. Brooks has been busy co-hosting his own podcast now with our good pal Jeff Young, who covers the Giants for Around the Foghorn. You know, we'll talk about it later as well, but Brooks and Jeff doing the Pitcher's Park podcast, or PPP as you see it everywhere all over X and Facebook. So keep up the good work, man. You guys are doing great.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, so today, you know, yesterday was the initial kind of breaking podcast to get our initial thoughts on Farhan is out and Buster Posey is in as president of baseball operations. Today, this morning, we had the press conference with Buster and Greg Johnson and Bob Melvin, and I listened to like 99% of it. I guess it kind of, they stopped like right after I stopped listening, so it went on for like a half hour, which was pretty quick. But I had some takeaways I thought we could just discuss here, and then maybe after that we'll kind of do a quick overview of the 2024 season as well, since we're not going to do an official season review, because, you know, Rob and I were talking about it yesterday. It's like everything's like irrelevant now for what happened. It's like now yeah. It's literally a fresh slate, a fresh start, like moving forward. So what happened this last season really doesn't matter, but we'll talk about it, needless to say, in a little bit. But I think the first thing that stuck me out, I wrote like five bullet points of notes here. Greg Johnson, of course, answered some questions and was asked regarding going over the luxury tax. Like last year was the first time they did, I believe, in the entire Farhan Zaidi era. And, you know, last year, of course, when Bob Melvin was getting introduced as the new manager of the San Francisco Giants, and it stuck with Greg Johnson all year, the break-even comment, you know, like, what are you guys doing financially? Well, we want a break-even, blah, blah, blah.
Rally cry, right?
Yes.
Break-even, baby. That maybe was this year's one good week away.
It's true, it's true, which that will never die. But never. Maybe Greg is learning, or he's starting to catch on to things, because today he, you know, summed it up as the Giants will do whatever it takes to put their best team on the field, even if it puts them over the luxury tax. So that's what us fans want to hear. Like, they're willing to do anything for the team to be successful. And not only he also went on to say, not only get to the playoffs, but to compete for a World Series championship. So I was glad to hear that out of Greg Johnson's mouth.
I mean, the White Sox also talked about competing for a World Series championship this year in their press conference before the season. Well, they did say the operative word there was they're willing to. It's different than we are going to push our salaries, player salaries, above the luxury tax threshold. Like, we will do that. So willing to is, you know, yeah, I'm willing to help you mow your lawn, but you know, I'm probably not going to do it.
At least he didn't say that. Yeah, our financial situation is always fluid, but we're always looking to improve the roster. That's why I was waiting for to get out of Greg Johnson, and he didn't quite go there. So yeah, I was impressed for once with him.
At least they didn't talk about a good thing we didn't sign Jordan Montgomery.
No shit. How about that for a conclusion the day after Arizona got their hearts broken?
Yeah.
And then that's the first thing come out. Not a good start to the offseason for the Diamondbacks, that's for sure.
Sometimes it's like, get that microphone away from him now. If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, just Google or tweet, look up Jordan Montgomery and the comments from the managing partner of the D-backs were it's kind of an example of what not to do.
Well,
airing out your dirty laundry, your thoughts. Yeah, he took our contract, that bad man.
If we were a Diamondbacks podcast tonight, oh my god, we'd be on fire, you know, talking about that shit. That was one of the most electric things I've ever heard. The day after the season ends, you know, and he's firing out crap like that, like that's amazing.
Since we're talking about it, he also was mad about the rain out games turning into a doubleheader that he foresaw was going to be a non-competitive second game for the team that clinched in the first game. So either this guy is a complete genius or he's just butthurt about what transpired. But yeah, a lot of comments coming out there. And speaking of the Diamondbacks, you remember, guys, where the Giants said – they didn't say this, but figuratively. The Giants wanted – they did. But you know this is true. The Giants wanted to be this year's Diamondbacks, right? We all know what happened last year. The Diamondbacks got in, snuck into the dance. They went all the way to the World Series, and it was a great story. They fell short to,
Bruce Bochy's Rangers.
But those D-backs were like the model of, hey, the sixth playoff team, that final wild card team, that could be us. That could be the Giants in 2024. So I'm just kind of going back to, isn't that funny how they took it so literally, guys, that they literally were this year's Diamondbacks. The Giants, just like the Diamondbacks, did not make the playoffs. So
basically what Brooks is saying is, basically what Brooks is trying to say is that the Giants were playing for the inside straight from opening day. That's what they were playing for. If this was poker, the Giants were playing for that inside straight to be that last team in that's just going to make a run and shock the world. And yeah, it's really hard to do.
Yeah,
and,
but the D-backs did almost accomplish one good week away. They were just one day away. So,
but they never said it. That's the best part.
They were one not signing Jordan Montgomery away from being in the playoffs, if you ask the general, the managing partner. Anyways.
The best part was Trevor Bauer had to go on and say, well, you should have signed me for the league minimum. Anyways, he really did. That is true. back on track here. And I should have opened up with this. Just the vibes. Okay, I listened to the press conference today. I did not watch. But it was very... I don't want to use the word boring, but it was boring. And I don't mean that in a negative connotation. Like, it was very cliche answers. It was kind of, you know, we're going to do what we need to do, kind of vibes from especially Buster himself. And I'm okay with that, especially since we've heard a lot of things flying out of Farhan's mouth the last couple of years, and a lot of them don't come to fruition. So, you know what? If you're not 100% sure on something, keep it tucked away, and you know, let's just see how the offseason pans out. I was okay with the vibes today. I just want to say that
it's like the class president, you know, no homework, pizza parties every day,
no school on Fridays,
no school, no detention. Yeah, that's we've heard a lot of that. You're right, over these other press conferences. So I guess hats off to Buster for keeping it real with us. He's never been really revealing with his answers in media press conferences,
very rational
interviews, just cliche, just not gonna give you anything buzzworthy to talk about. You know, a pal on Twitter, Dave, who is at GG Giants, he said, disappointing press conference, if I'm being honest, not a lot of concrete answers as far as vision and a path forward, very boilerplate stuff. And yeah, have to agree with that analysis there. So Buster.
Yeah, that was fine. I think that's fair. I've said it a couple times in a couple different chats. I wish the questions were a little more tough. I know that's an elementary word to use there, but you know, I think people, if this was anybody but Buster Posey and we get a, you know, not a big known name coming in to fill the shoes for Farhan, we might have some asshole questions today. So I think it may be because of who was involved and who was taking over. Like that could be why there were some softballs today. And like, let's just give Buster the offseason and see what he can do, you know, trying to put a team together that can compete next year. So next point I had was it was announced he's going to have a 3-year deal to do this, but with no contingencies. So take that with what you want. Go ahead, Brooks. What do you got?
A 3-year deal? Really? Really? Buster Posey? He's getting a lifetime deal, whether he chooses to stay or go. Are we being serious here?
There was supposed to be a 1 in front of that 3, I think, is what.
Or a 3 or a 4 in front of
Rob, that 3. Rob, the Giants don't hand out 13-year contracts. That's already proven.
That's very true.
That was too easy.
They got Buster Posey in this position. If things don't work out 3 years from now, what do you think, guys? You think they're going to give him the axe, Buster Posey? Like, there's never any situation where the fan base will be happy with that. I'm just saying, it's just silly because he's not going to have a contract kind of run out. It's just kind of like a lifetime deal that he can choose to leave when he wants to, right?
I'm just stating what was said. But I do agree.
Yeah, he will step back into his minority ownership position. And you know how Shaquille O'Neal owned a little bit of the Sacramento Kings there for a couple of years. Like, that's Buster true. Will fall back into that role.
I did. And we said that last night, Rob. You know, like, I think Buster may have the, you know, knowledge and the peace of mind at the end of the day. Like, if this isn't working out for me, maybe I'll just back the fuck off. And we'll go. Or he can be like, no, I can do this, even though, you know. Because that is also what Greg Johnson said today, talking to Alex Pavlovich after, is that this was, because I think a lot of us were like, well, did the ownership approach him or did he approach ownership? It sounded more like Buster was the one that said, hey, I think I can do this. So that is noteworthy as well. So
I've done everything else in baseball. Why not this? Yeah. I do want to address real quick for all the fans listening. Anyone that thought that Bob Melvin's job was in jeopardy, I just need to talk to you real quick and just let you know how this works.
Bob.
So Bob Melvin being the respected manager decades in this game, after a not the worst year in the world, but there was never a situation where Bob Melvin was going to get fired, mainly because the Giants just fired Gabe Kapler 12 months ago, and they would be paying two different managers not to manage their ball club and then paying a third person, he or she, to come in here and manage this club. That would be a complete bizarre, like, it would, they'd be the laughing stock of MLB if they were just, oh, bad year, you're gone.
Not necessarily, Brooks, because if there's one person you could hire that you wouldn't have to pay, no contingencies, that's Buster Posey. He can just be fucking everything, okay?
Yeah. Let him play, too. Let him be a backup catcher. Just player.
You know, every 3 days.
Player manager like Pete Rose. Shout out Pete Rose. Rest in peace, of course.
We all saw Major League 2 when Roger Dorn activated himself. Remember that?
You know, I've been seeing that everywhere, man. I'm seeing, hey, when he's got the jacket open, he's like, I activated myself.
Guys, As of 10:06 this morning, I activated myself.
Yeah. And I'm gonna be a DH 5 out of 6 games per week. I just circling back to that, Bob Melvin's job was safe because of his, you know, respect across the league. A guy like that gets a few years to get it going. For outside sure. of San Diego, where I mean that was kind of just a weird situation with GM and him. So anyways, yeah, Bob Melvin unsurprisingly did not get fired today. For anyone that had that on their bingo card, I'm sorry. No bingo for you. Chris Corbett says no.
Yeah, no, it's that whole it's that catcher fraternity, right? Like, yeah, Buster's not gonna tell Bob to hit the bricks, you know, right when he takes over the president of baseball operations. And like, we don't really know like the dialogue that occurred last year when Farhan, I assume, called up Bob Melvin when things were shaky down in San Diego, and like it looked like San Diego or Bob Melvin was going to take the fall for what happened down there. I assume with their past relationship with the A's, like it went something like, "Hey Bob, God, I wish I could do Farhan's voice like Doug and you Brooks," but I'm sure it was like, "Hey Bob, you know, my job's kind of on the rocks up here. Hey, you want to come manage for us, you know, for a year or so? Cause I'm trying to get this ship going in the right direction." Yeah, sure, Farhan. It fucking sucks down here. I'll be right there. And I assume it was something like that. But like Buster kind of said today, you know, Bob Melvin, you know, he's a respected manager throughout the game. You know, he's been around a long time. There was no way he was ever going to be a one and done. Like you said, Brooks, that just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. I've retired Farhan's voice, by the way. I can't bring that back.
I can't do it. So I can't. I wouldn't even attempt it.
Oh, you guys.
Was that too far on that one?
Sorry.
Oh, it's the best.
Hey, brother.
Hey, how's it going, guys? No, hey, far, like you guys said on the previous episode, you know, I take no pleasure in Farhan losing his job, but I do know that he's going to catch on and he's going to, I mean, so many organizations need what he brings to the table. They're lacking the analytical side, someone that can actually put together a competitive, I can't say it with a straight face. The Giants were not competitive, mostly under Farhan, but put together a pretty solid roster without spending a ton of money. He did it before this past offseason where, you know, they just shelled out money everywhere. But yeah, that's kind of something that a lot of organizations covet. So he will catch on for sure somewhere else. And I don't know. I mean, if you guys really think about it, like the view from 40,000 feet, Giants organization over the last decade plus, right? Let's just kind of start, not going to go way back to, you know, when the dinosaurs roamed and Hum Baby and all that. But
40 years ago?
Sorry. How old are we?
Go ahead.
Bruce Bochy and Brian Sabian, your kind of manager and GM, let's just go with that word, relationship, right? Once that kind of started going after the championships, Brian Sabian kind of handed the keys to a safe internal hire with Bobby Evans, right? Mm-hmm. It was a very safe call. So when that didn't work out, the ownership, I'm assuming, is the ones that decided to do the opposite of a safe hire. They brought in this Moneyball guru, Farhan Zaidi, who kept going up and up. His role kept increasing from the A's to the Dodgers. Exactly. You want me? Okay. Sorry. He goes to the Giants, and of course, there's that tiny little bit of overlap with Bruce Bochy. Mm-hmm. And then another non-safe hire, outside of the box thinking, hire somebody who basically just got the axe in Philadelphia, right? So Gabe Kapler comes on the scene. So you got back-to-back big hires that were not on the safe side at all. So when that plan outside of 2021, the big hooray of a season, great. When that didn't work out these past few seasons, you saw that little overlap again, right? So they said, okay, Gabe Kapler, you're out, but we're going to make a safe hire again with Bob Melvin. Bob Melvin got a chance to do this 1 year with Farhan. And then where are we back, guys? Another safe hire, hiring Buster Posey without a search for the next president of ops, without multiple interviews, different candidates, lots of different executives that after the World Series ends have job openings, you know. Mm-hmm. So that to me is just the version I'm talking about here is that the Giants are now back in the safe hire business. They want to somehow make sure that those experiments are put to rest and call this an experiment too. It is a guy that's never done anything like this in the front office, but still safe for what we're talking about in the Giants community. Someone that is beloved and embraced on day one, having never done this before. You know, just let Barry Bonds be, you know, the hitting coach, and then, you know, it'll just keep going. No, I'm saying, like, they'll just keep adding more. Remember this guy? Remember that guy? Remember?
I'm waiting for the Brandon Crawford infield, you know, coordinator to come. But
Bumgarner, pitching coach.
So, Brooks, you're going all in on the member berries, and that's
member berries.
It's the member berries from South Park. If you don't know what that is, yeah, look that up too. Oh, yeah. But
Rob, what do you think? Safe hire to get Posey in there, right?
It's the safest hire, and I'm not totally against it, because I think us three, and you know, we talk every day, us three. Like, we all knew, okay, something had to change. Like, Farhan had to lose his job. Like, that's where we're at. Three straight, you know, fluttering around 500 seasons. Yeah, that's not the San Francisco Giants. You know, that's not what the standard is. But, yeah, I mean, even I didn't see this coming. And the fact that it happened so quickly, it's like, damn, these guys knew probably like a month ago that we're going to fire Farhan and we're giving Buster Posey this job. And
according to Rob, it was the White Sox series.
How about March, when Buster moved here back from Carolina?
Right.
Lafayette. You think he was moving here just because he has that minority stake?
Yeah, no. The signals were there. The tea leaves were there, like you're saying, Brooks. But it's been out there, right? Like, and we were just thinking, okay, well, they got to at least search outside the organization, because the Giants are a pretty serious organization. They're going to do their due diligence, you know, like we like to say, like old Brian Sabian always said, you know, on who's out there and who's going to be available. But no, like the whole, like yesterday morning, yeah, hearing that Farhan got let go, that wasn't surprising. But in the same freaking tweet and press release that we all saw, Buster Posey is getting hired. And that's the crazy thing to me. It's super safe. Like, whether it's good or not, I mean, I guess we'll find out, because I know we got to talk more about what happened today in the press conference. But you know, Buster wasn't really too revealing about what's going to happen, which is it makes it exciting, but I guess a little nerve wracking at the same time, because we want to change so bad.
It's true. He was pretty, you know, keeping things under the sleeve today, not too revealing, which, like I said, I was okay with it. But last couple points here regarding today's press conference. It sounds like the coaching staff is going to stay intact. They're not going to make really any moves outgoing or income. I mean, we could make one or two additions, who knows, but it sounds like for the most part, that staff will be staying together. And then finally, I'll kind of combine these two. Buster said that they will be hiring a general manager. Sounds like Pete Petula is not going to have that title anymore, but it sounds like he's going to stay in the organization doing something else. That'll be yet to be announced, but Buster will have more of a day-to-day guy or gal, whatever, as the general manager, and looking for someone with a scouting pedigree. He was very vocal today about how he believes in scouting, and he really wants to bring back the value in scouting to the Giants organization. So I thought that was notable as well.
Yeah, I think Pete Petilla will probably find a role back where he, you know, initially was with the Astros. Player development guy was kind of his thing. So develop them players, Pete, because I think that's where he's headed. Or like,
and they need more of that.
Yeah, or like Robbie thinks, he'll be in the mailroom.
nah, like, I was playing, but like, when Chris and the guys were like, oh, Pete's gonna lose his job, I'm like, nah, dude, he's just gonna get demoted. Like, he could be in the mailroom, or he could be with he could be out here in you know, out in the bay, you know, scouting San Jose Giant games and or doing other things. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, do any of us really know what Pete Petula did the last couple of years? No, we
no.
Don't.
So, hey, Pete, give me my copy. I'm sorry. I can't let it go.
All he did was stay out of the spotlight when something bad happened. No one was running his name through the mud. That's for sure. And I think if they were to fire Pete Petula outright, it would kind of lessen the impact of like Farhan being dismissed, right? The fact that Pete was brought in as kind of, you know, a right-hand man to Farhan, it wasn't like they were joint the whole time. So
yeah,
Pete is now someone that they value. You just can't do that with Farhan. You can't reassign him. He is going to be a president of ops somewhere else. Pete doesn't mean he's going to be a GM somewhere else. Let him go. They're like, we could still use this guy. So so we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I don't know. Doug, what do you think about GM? Any names come to mind? I mean, is that too early to think?
Shout out Scott Harris and the Detroit Tigers. I'm sorry. I had to.
Since you brought it up, everyone wants to look at the Tigers and be like, Scott Harris, right? Heck of a year. He got to the playoffs. This is the same guy that traded Jack Flaherty to the Dodgers a month ago. They were not planning on being here. They were ready to kind of collect some assets, some cheaper options. They even tried to trade Tarek Skubal, who won the Triple Crown, you know, a month.
Probably going
to
win the Cy Young.
Probably the sun will rise tomorrow, too. Yes.
Hey, you never know, man. You get shocked with some awards sometimes. Just saying.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
But to answer your question, I'll be honest. I'm not 100% sure on a short list of who could be. It sounds like, you know, Buster wanted to get on that right away and start speaking with potential candidates.
Joe Panic. Know.
Hey, bring back Brian Sabian, man. Why not?
I think that will happen in some capacity. Not he's not gonna be the GM, but I think Brian Sabian will be back in some vicinity of maybe a consultant level. But I mean, because what's he do with the Yankees right now? He's a consultant there. Like, why wouldn't he come out here and do it for Buster? Like, I don't know. I'm not saying he's gonna be the GM again. That's not gonna happen. But he said Sabian's name like four times today. Right. So that just kind of makes you think a little bit. Like,
he did. Man. That's a great point. He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
By the way, I just. Before we move on, I just want to throw out a quick point, and I kind of touched on, not specifically yesterday, but about Buster has no experience in this. Well, everybody has no experience until they do something for the first time. But I just want to throw out that the reigning World Series champion general manager was a former player, and he won it in his second year, and that's Chris Young with the Texas Rangers. So just remember, you know.
And he wasn't even good as a player.
That's true. but he had a great manager by his side. Some guy named what's your name again, Coach? What's your name?
They call me Skip, the boss. You can call me whatever you want. I don't care.
My point is it's possible, people. So don't Joe panic yet. All right. Any additional thoughts you guys have on the Buster Posey situation, Farhan Zaidi situation, or anything from today before we move on real quick?
I don't know. Like, all I can really say, because like we said earlier, it was a lot of cliches, a lot of PC today. Mm-hmm. But truly, Buster just sounded like a guy that's been disgusted about what he's seen on the field the last couple of years. You know, he talked a lot about, you know, what it means to wear a Giants uniform and play for the Giants and all the legends that show up to spring training and whatnot. And that's all important, but it just, I don't know. It kind of gave me the feeling that he felt like he kind of had to do this. Like, he didn't want to do this, but like, I feel like Buster in his head was probably just thinking, okay, I got to get this thing going in the right direction, cause this is killing me being a part of this and not having a bigger say. And that's, because he didn't, like I said, we got no answers about, like, you know, impending free agents. You know, he got asked about Snell a little bit today, and he said, well, that's priority, and, you know, we're going to do what we can to make that happen. But he didn't make any big promises about Ohtani, Willie Adames, Eddie Santander, Pete Alonso, guys like that. He made no promises, but it just sounded like a guy who was sick of watching the Giants being average, and that was a little refreshing to me, even though we have no idea as of right now what the hell he's going to do to remedy this. That was just kind of nice to hear as a fan. It's like, yeah, I'm sick of that shit too, Buster. Hell yeah, good.
Yeah, I still think this was not a kind of rash decision. Like, last couple weeks haven't gone well. The whole Matt Chapman thing that everyone remembers during the negotiations kind of got leaked out that Buster had a bigger role in there, right? And that's when everyone kind of had this little inkling, like, oh, is Buster, like, Is he really influencing a lot of these decisions? Kind of, we didn't know about that. Again, this guy moved back here from his where he likes to be in Carolina. He moved back here to Lafayette, California. Yeah, that was just.
I wonder if he bought the house that Carlos Correa was looking at.
Lafayette's a nice place, so there's lots to choose from up there.
Jeez, could you imagine if Buster didn't pass his physical today?
Would have never made it to that stage.
I was waiting for Rob there. Oh man,
left him behind the curtain again. Yeah.
Gotcha. Last thing I'll say, so we can move on, is if they, I would like them to hire a GM that maybe is not the safe hire, you know, to pair with the safe manager and the safe president of ops. Mm-hmm. Maybe give me a GM that, you know, in line with a kind of Scott Harris, someone that is like kind of climbing up the ranks, but nowhere near GM status. Maybe that's the type of person they need, because you already have Buster Posey. He's like Hollywood, right? He's like the main event. Whoever, it's just going to be like the Farhan Pete thing. When anything happens, it's going to be Buster did this, you know? Peter Brand. GM doesn't. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Peter Brand. He could be the Peter Brand. That's right. Yes. Yeah. So just saying, it might have to be someone that is kind of well-known, but not any big splash at GM. We already have Buster Posey, so you mm-hmm. don't need anything major there. So
that's true. All right. Let's move on. Let's let Buster do his thing. I don't think there's much more we could say. Like, I just want to see what he does the next several months. So
let Buster cook.
Yeah. Man, I have to name that this episode. Don't take it, Brooks.
All right, let me take it real quick.
Hit even, though, Brook Pod. Even though we owe you one. No, you know what? Quick story. Please. I made a graphic for this episode before anything was out of shit, because I knew what it was going to be called because it was simple. And then you're like, you guys put yours out before we did, and it was titled the same thing. And I was like, well, shit. And then I saw what Chad King over at TortureCast wrote an article or something like that, right? And it was called the same thing. And then I saw, I believe, Sam Lubman and Joe Shasky with Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, and theirs was very, very similar to Farhan out, Buster in. So I was like, you know what? Hey, man, universally known amongst the Giants podcast community.
That's right. Don't underestimate the power of Pitchers Park Pod, all right? Triple P coming at you. And it was like an obvious name. I'll give you that. Farhan out, Buster in. But the fact that no
and
one
you always want to Buster in.
Inside, up and in, chin music. You know, I know that's what you're talking about.
No, it should have been Buster takes Farhan's job, Matos to IL.
Yeah. Landon Roop reassigned to AAA.
Luciano career TBD. All right. So we're going to avoid the entire episode of a 2024 review. Kind of like I mentioned earlier, it's, you know, we're going in a different direction now. The Giants are going in a different direction. And, but it was, like we said, it was a big off season this last year. Going into the season of 2024, they brought in some pretty big names. They brought in Matt Chapman. They brought in Jorge Soler. They got Jung Hoo Lee over from across the ocean, who, you know, he showed that he can play some baseball, but I think he's still got a lot to do. But unfortunately, his season was cut short due to his shoulder injury. And they got Blake Snell really late in the spring, which did affect his season for sure. So they had a big offseason. I think they spent the second most money behind the Dodgers, of course, after they got Otani and Yamamoto and Hernandez. So going into the season, I was expecting a better record. I thought they'd go 85-77. Quickly, like the last 3 years, pivoted because, you know, we saw the writing on the wall, like in what, June, Rob, realistically? And said, yeah. Hey, they haven't really shown anything to where they can turn this around. I want them to sell at the deadline. And that's something too that I didn't mention yesterday that I wanted to regarding Farhan going out was his inability to make a decision at a trade deadline. And that was just catastrophic, especially the last 2 years, and you could go back as far as 2022, where they, you know, they should have traded Carlos Rodon. I think Brooks was the spearhead of that on Twitter. Alex Cobb last year didn't do it. This year, could have, should have, would have been Blake Snell, even though he was fantastic in the second half, arguably the best pitcher in baseball. But hey, they lose him this offseason. He signs elsewhere. Giants got nothing for him. So if I could, you know, sum up Farhan's tenure with the Giants, it's didn't get enough for what they had. But yeah, frustrating season, 80 and 82, and again, missed the playoffs. And we can just start with that, talk for about 15 minutes or so on it.
Yeah, I mean, Farhan played it real safe. He never really went for it. You guys mentioned this on the last pod, you know, outside of Chris Bryant in 2021, never really put all the chips in to the, he never like believed, it just felt like he didn't believe in the teams. Shout out Believe Network. he didn't believe in the teams. He just wanted to play it out. Very similar to just saying, hey, you know what, AJ Pollock, sure, you can get some at bats against some lefties. It's like that wasn't, we're going for it. We're going to try to win. The fans are not, I like to think the fans are not a bunch of idiots. Like,
Larry.
Come on, Larry. Light bulb moment. Hello. But yeah, I think just tying that back into, I hope Buster does like start trading prospects, moving some, you know, I want to see some real movement here because Farhan was a little bit too, he was looking elsewhere. He's like the meme, you know, where like the girl's like, why are you looking at her? Right. He's looking at the Mariners DFA, right?
He's looking back at Mike Ford.
Ooh, yeah, Donovan Walton.
Yeah, he's looking at Mercedes, not the Benz, though.
Mike Bauman. Yeah,
exactly. It's let's focus on big transactions, Buster. I know you have it in you. But yeah, going back to the 2024 Giants, I think that really just the fact that they put a lot of risky red flag starting pitching together for that rotation. All the times you heard about Alex Cobb getting close to, you know, some spring training action, the dude never ended up pitching an inning for the Giants this year. They salvaged something by, you know, trading that guy. And it is funny that Jorge Soler and Alex Cobb and who else, they're all playing in the playoffs. It's just funny. Like, go leave
Austin
us.
Slater
is Austin on a playoff. Austin Slater probably hit leadoff against the lefty. Yeah.
It's all that. They're all on playoff teams. Yeah, but just the fact that they did a patchwork, like, hey, as long as all these guys don't get hurt like they usually do, we'll be fine. you know, Blake Snell, they were never going to sign Blake Snell until his price was so low, you know, for their liking. In terms of years and how much, like, they knew it was going to be a one-year deal because they knew, like, hey, if he pitches well, he's going to opt out. But do you guys know how many innings Blake Snell actually threw just off the top of your head without looking it up?
100.
104. That should have been, like, our over-under. But we didn't know he was going to get hurt and miss a bunch of time and all that. But, you know, the fact that,
like, half as many innings as Ryan Walker threw this year.
I thought you were going to say Logan Webb.
oh, well, literally, yes. Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Same thing. Tyler Walker. Yeah, same thing.
Tyler Walker.
Yeah, it got sweaty in here.
Yeah, sweat, man. No, I just I'll toss it back to you guys. But just the fact that, you know, the Robbie Ray, the Alex Cobb situation, and then having to rely on the rookies. Nice to see Birdsong come up and get some experience. But you knew him and Harrison were not going to – if the Giants were hoping they didn't go to the playoffs, they're like, we won't have any pitchers in October. We have nothing going for us outside of hopefully Logan and Snell just pitch nonstop. But, yeah, anyways, yeah, the rotation for me was a big disappointment.
Yeah. Like, you made a lot of good points there, Brooks, and you didn't mention Jordan Hicks. Same thing, though. It's like we didn't know. Like, the signing was like Doug kind of led the charge on this. Like, that is a lot of money on a pitcher that you don't know what the hell you're really going to do with. Oh, yeah, we want him to be a starter, but can he start? Like, do you know if he can actually do that?
Yeah, it was the four years.
He had a four-year plan.
What is it? No, no, I'm not saying that.
What is it? Don't be in the bullpen?
Yeah, right. Listen, yeah, 4 years, $42 million. I think is what he got, or $48 million. I think
it's 44. I think it was 11 per.
Yeah. I mean,
the Taylor
Rogers 3 for $33 million.
It's like the Taylor Rogers deal, but like when they brought in Jordan Hicks, it was like, damn it, who the fuck were you bidding against for his services? Like, I mean, somebody
got off to a hot start.
And he did. And like he came into the season prepared. Mm-hmm. Like he had been preparing to be a starter. Like, hey, like I'm not just a one off. It's inevitable, right? Like he gets mad with the season and he starts to kind of wear down. And then same thing with like Kyle Harrison. You know, he's doing more than what he's ever done before in his career. Like you said, Brooks, that was another red flag. You know, you go to Blake Snell, who skipped all of spring training, and we were all pumped about that signing because, you know, it looked really good, but, you know, it took him a long time just to get healthy and to get out of his own way and to find his groove. And then Robbie Ray, who we didn't expect to see until August. I think he came back, like 2 weeks earlier than I think we anticipated.
I think it was right after the break.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was. But it was earlier than what we thought. But then Hayden Birdsong comes up, does his best, you know, like throwing into the fire, basically. And Logan Webb out there, you know, throwing 6-7 innings every night or every time he pitches, regardless of what kind of stuff he has. He's just out there sucking it up, basically. And giving the team a chance. And so, yeah, I mean, it's definitely disappointing. And to hear at the deadline, the trade deadline, to Farhan have the audacity to tell us this, we feel like we had the best rotation in baseball. It's like, God damn, why would you say that? Like, it's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
That got him fired
in 2024. That to me, that's as dumb as the one good week away thing.
That you should
put a book together with quotes.
Yeah. So like forget everything that happened with the lineup. You know, the Giants for the most part like ran that lineup back outside of, you know, yeah, Yuhu, Jorge Soler, Matt Chapman. You know, were the key additions to this team. Oh, and Nick Ahmed, can't forget about him. Yeah. And
Dodgers hero.
Yeah, who stood in the way of Marco Luciano getting on the field, or. You know, if we really think about it, he stood in the way of Tyler Fitzgerald getting on the field earlier than what he did.
Sure.
And I don't know. Wasn't it funny, though, like the whole offseason, like we all kind of knew or had that. We were all like 80, 90% sure, okay, Matt Chapman's signing with the Giants. So why hasn't he done it yet? And it was like they kind of just waited it out the way they did with Snell just about two weeks apart. Like, yeah, you know, Matt Chapman's going to sign here, but we're going to get him at the cheapest possible deal that we possibly can and to see what he has right now. And, you know, God bless him. You know, he plays a whole season with under Farhan and under Bob Melvin and under that shit show what we saw this year. And he says, hey, I want to be here long term. And I don't blame Greg Johnson and Larry Bear for being like, Buster, get in there and make this deal happen right now because this guy is probably drunk and we got to make sure this happens right now because this guy was going to get a lot more on the open market if we let him get there. And
Farhan's always played chicken, right? Taking it down always. To the 11th hour. He's willing to say, well, we'll get nothing if you don't meet my demands.
Right, Chris Bryant
happened. I was about to say the Chris Bryant trade, five minutes
ago.
Thank you.
So stuff like that. He probably was doing the whole chicken thing with Matt Chapman and his camp. And they were like, we're going to lose this guy, aren't we? And they said, Buster, get in there. And Buster's like, I want the ball, right? As they say. No,
right.
Yeah. So it just kind of goes to show like that kind of stick-to-itiveness of like, hey, what's $5 million? Are we going to let $5 million stand in the way of us and Matt Chapman? I don't know if that's the number. But it's little things like that where it's like, hey, he wants the sixth year. Like Buster's like, I don't care. Who cares? If he's not good in 6 years, let's just cut him. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? We need to lock this guy up. We need to do it. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was that's a great point there, Rob, the fact that just seeing the whole Chapman thing unfold kind of not in real time after the fact. Like you got signed, and then all of a sudden everything started coming out, and that was like that made that weird kind of is he on the hot seat?
Right.
Quick one for you guys. How many pitchers started a game for the Giants this year? Any guesses?
Oh dear.
Because the openers and the bullpen games stuck around. They were around.
Eric Miller, for sure.
Miller had the seventh most starts for the Giants. I'm not even joking you.
16.
Just Googled it or what? Yes, exactly.
Did I nail it? I swear to God, I have no idea.
I know okay. You didn't. I know.
Right hand to God, that was a guess. Yeah, I was speaking of names.
I had 16 too. Yeah, yeah.
Now, see, Rob thinks I'm bullshit right now. That was really. I'm nailing it, man. The ERA was or the innings pitch for Snell, and then that. Ask me something else.
No, for a guy who watched like 40 baseball Giants baseball games. 40. This year.
Man, you're close too. 44. I had to.
Did I nail that one?
I'm joking.
Over under Doug games next year, 37 in half. Randy Rodriguez, Tristan Beck, Ryan Walker, Dalton Jeffrey, Spencer Vivens, Spencer Howard, all the Spencers, Landon Roop, Robbie Ray, Mason Black, Eric Miller, Keaton Wynn, Hayden Birdsong, Jordan Hicks, Blake Snell, Kyle Harrison, Logan Webb.
Holy shit, I forgot about Keaton Wynn.
Yeah, Keaton Wynn had the sixth most starts for the Giants this year. What? Anyways, crazy.
Yeah.
You guys talked about pitching, and I always talk about pitching, so I'll just let it die there. But I kind of wanted to focus, before we get out of here, like focus on, and this is something we've talked about before on this podcast, about the positional players and the guys that are actually in the field and how it can tie in with letting the youth ride a little bit more than what we were accustomed to this year, which ended up being a good thing overall. But you look at the guys that were brought in, even the best player on the Giants this year, hands down, was Matt Chapman. He had a great year. There's no doubt. Got off to a slow start, but is known to be a streaky, guy at the plate. And he had some of those instances, not as much as usual, because he really was pretty damn good from start to finish. But Jorge Soler, very streaky. Michael Conforto, very streaky. Mike Yastrzemski, very streaky. Like, they had four or five guys that are great, maybe complementary players and good name players in this lineup, but that would go on streaks all at the same time where, like, the lineup would just do absolute dog shit. I think that was a reoccurring theme throughout the year where holy shit, the Giants cannot hit right now, or they cannot get a runner in. And there were times where they were scoring 3 to 4 runs in series. And I know that happened multiple times this year. And I think just because of the roster construction, when you get those types of players all in one singular lineup, you're going to run into those problems. And it was a problem all year. Even, like I spoke about him earlier, we didn't get to see enough of Jung Hoo Lee. I'm looking forward to seeing him play, hopefully, for a whole season next year. But
yes,
the positives out of this year are, of course, like Elliot Ramos made the freaking All-Star game, guys. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
And the thing is how many times have I talked about this, especially with Elliot Ramos? Rob knows this. Brooks, you know this. I was a Ramos guy the first few years he was in the organization. Then I said I gave up on him because I felt like the Giants gave up on him. And Rob says, well, Doug, they did. You're probably right. But
they did give up on him. Yeah.
I know. But unfortunately, or fortunately, he gets an opportunity to play on a regular basis this year, even though it was absolutely like plan C or D, because Jung Hoo Lee went down. Then Michael Conforto went down. Then Mike Yastrzemski went down. And it was like, okay, well, let's give Ramos a little run. Well, motherfucker ran with it, got hot enough, makes the All-Star game, struggled after the All-Star break, and then kind of got going again a little bit to finish the season, which you know how much I preach about, thrive, struggle, thrive. And he did at the major league level. So he has earned at least a shot next year to play every day at the major league level. And then, obviously, Tyler Fitzgerald was great this year. And Rob says this a lot, speed doesn't slump. And Fitzgerald got hot with power, finished with what, 15, 16 bombs. But he had a stretch where he hit like 11 in 17 games, which is ridiculous. Then he cooled off with the power. But you know what? That dude never dipped below like 285 with the average. He was still hitting because he put the ball in play. and he could run. And so the good thing is we see with the youth, Grant McCray showed some stuff at the end of the year. Finally, we've been asking the last couple of years when we knew the season was over in June, July, August, it's like, let the kids play. And we finally got that this year, maybe because Farhan was saw the writing on the wall and was like, let's just do something what I usually wouldn't do. And at least they can go into next year with 2.5 to 3 guys that are like, maybe they are a mainstay on this major league roster. And that is huge going into next year.
Yeah. Patrick Bailey too.
Well,
yeah, he did what he needed to do, which is be your backstop, the leader. He didn't hit like Buster Posey. He's never going to be that guy. But he can also carry you and hit some walk-off bombs, and that's kind of Patrick Bailey. That's sure. His claim to fame. 4.3 F-war for Bailey this year. I'm loving that. Now, everything you just mentioned, Doug, points to just those position players only. Mm-hmm. Matt Chapman, Elliot Ramos, Tyler Fitzgerald. Who are those guys? They are either the rookies or the young players like Elliot Ramos getting a chance to finally play, or it's the guy that you spent the big money on that performed. Those are the real standouts, not the middling Farhan pickup guys. You know, Lamont Wade with his on-base percentage for a long time was a great part of the lineup, but just the fact that that's the promise that they can go into next year when maybe Bryce Eldridge in May or June is just completely destroying minor league pitching. And it's just like, hey, this guy is like 19, 20. He needs to come up here right now.
Keep him down. Yeah.
The fans are going to say, we've seen this with Elliot Ramos. We've seen this with Tyler Fitzgerald. Yeah, it might not work linearly perfectly like that. Sometimes development is a little messy, right? Especially for a young player finally playing. But if they can just point to, hey, next year – could be more like Matt Chapman and whichever free agent hitters that he's going to lure over here and Buster Posey calling the shots, plus bringing up some more exciting young players mixed with the already exciting young players that finally were able to make an impact. Giants fans are starving for young players, just like in the early 2010s where that core was built. And it was just, oh, look, the entire infield is all homegrown. Like, that was, like, a thing. And we are all so used to it. And really, I don't know, I don't think we took it for granted, but it was really just surreal to think that that was replaced by a bunch of random pickups and all this little Farhanisms over the years, where finally, maybe next year, it'll be a mix of some really strong, big-money contracts, your Willy Adames, Anthony Santander. I don't think you guys would be too upset if those guys came here, right? You think the Giants can outspend the Brewers and their small payroll, the Orioles? Yes, I know they have a new owner, but the Orioles, come on, you can outspend those guys. And then keep bringing up, you know, just like you saw with Grant McCray and everyone we mentioned before, and the promise that Bryce Eldridge will pan out, that right there will make you excited for next year, because you know that Farhan won't get in the way and say, well, have you seen this guy's on base percentage? Nobody wants him, but we do, you know. So
not bad.
So there's not going to be that. There's not going to be that next year. And I don't know what Buster's going to do, but I know for one thing that Farhan will not be doing those random waiver claim Nick Ahmed types and
walking development.
Yeah, were we going to talk about that whole report where Susan said, like, everything's coming from the top? Like, everything was coming from the top?
I saw that tweet. I actually thought about bringing it up. I mean, you did bring it up, so, like, we might as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we got a couple more minutes. Let me see if I could find it. Hold on. Talk for a second. I'll find it.
So what Doug is looking up is basically there were some questions on Twitter. Susan Slusser was asked about just kind of lineups and just kind of the baseball happenings, really. And if Bob Melvin was, you know, now will he have a major chance to kind of be free with Buster? And it kind of just sounds like, yes, like Buster's going to let Bob Melvin be Bob Melvin, let him do everything lineup wise and all that stuff. And that before that, it was coming from the top, in quotes, Farhan, basically.
Well, yeah, yeah, it's something that we speculated the last couple of years, even when Gabe Kapler was here. We're like, does Kapler really make any of these decisions? And we said this, and me personally, I said it a lot this year about Bob Melvin. I'm like, you know, I've watched Bob Melvin manage a lot of games over the years, and he's doing a lot of shit this year that he hasn't done in the past. Like, he's never been a perfect manager by any stretch, but I'm like, the bullpen usage and the use of pinch hits and platoons, and I'm like, is he really calling these shots? And like we saw today when in that screenshot I sent you guys with Susan Slusser saying, and she,
oh, you have it. Okay.
Who's a big, you know, Farhan backer says, yeah, most of the decisions we're coming from the top. So I think Melvin's going to be a little more free this year to kind of do what he wants. And I'm like, damn. Okay. That makes a lot more sense, because that was bugging me all motherfucking year, because that's not really how Bob Melvin has managed over the years. And I mean, it remains to be seen if Buster is gonna let him do those things and not micromanage. Like I want to give Buster the benefit of the doubt, but we don't know how he operates, and we don't even know who the GM is gonna be.
Yeah,
at this point. So, but we're hopeful that, you know, hopefully, you know, Bob Melvin has a little more freedom to do things kind of his way and not do things you know, Farhan's way, but. I think that's a big deal that kind of got overlooked this year, because it just didn't seem like a Bob Melvin led roster the whole way.
Agreed. All right. Before we get out of here, Brooks, go ahead and give PPP a little plug. I know you guys obviously, like I mentioned earlier, came out with a podcast yesterday. Do you guys have any new ones coming up?
Yes, indeed. I believe next day or so, we're kind of just, you know, our specialty is 9-minute episodes. Every once in a while we stretch it to 10 for, you know, extra innings, you know. But we keep it short form. There's lots of ads. Don't worry. You can fast forward through them. It's great. did I just say that on a podcast? Whoops. No, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun talking ball and Jeff Young and I, we have an episode coming out where we're just kind of breaking down a little bit on Elliot Ramos, Logan Webb, kind of just the two all-stars from this past season, just kind of not too different than kind of what we were talking about. Just kind of breaking down, you know, we want to shout out, they did have some solid seasons, and then some Blake Snell at the end there, because we don't know what his future is. So yeah, go ahead and wherever you can get your podcasts, Pitchers Park Podcast. And, you know, I need to get some guests on. I might need to get you two on. We'll each talk 2 minutes each. No, we'll
holding up a clock the whole time. Rob, you got to follow. Yeah, good luck with that.
Go. Yeah.
We'll do like a 4-part.
Well, fuck. Fuck.
Yeah, I'll just beep it out. I won't even.
David Farhan.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Thanks for the plug.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I want to see for the Giants next year, last thing, is they were like basically last in stolen bases. It's just like, can't happen. That was just horrible. And they were just like 18th, 19th in like all the major categories, home runs, you know, batting average, WRC plus, like all that, the offense. And they were top 10 in strikeouts, right? They struck out way too much. So if they can start going up in some of those stats and going down in the strikeout percentage, I think they'll be, and then add some stolen bases, I think next year's offense should be definitely way improved from what we saw this year.
So. And the sun will rise tomorrow, Brooks. Thank you.
Yeah, Tarek Skubal might win the
sun. Now we're even. Yeah, so make sure you're listening to the Pitchers Park podcast. And make sure you are joined up on Giants Chatter on Facebook. Follow us at Say Hey Doug, at Say Hey Rob, and at Brooks Knutson. Of course, follow at Say Hey Podcast. So Rob and I will be gone for probably like the next week. I'm going out of town, gonna have a little vacation finally, and we'll jump back on next week. And I'm looking forward to this offseason. I know we say this every offseason, but now, you know, now we mean it for real. Now we mean it. So that's hopefully right. Some exciting things are coming this winter. So for yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Tell Jeff we said hello. So
always
will do. For Say Hey Doug, Say Hey Rob, and Say Hey Brooks, thanks for joining us. And until next time, go Giants.
Go Giants.
Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
swinging at the plate, say hey.